会儿朋友们。Beautiful. You may be seated. You know, I really didn't expect this many on Pentecost. This kind of overwhelms me that we have such a full house today. Praise God. One day feast, and it's really, really beautiful. Remember to rejoice. Don't talk about anything. It'll bring you sadness or sorrow. Talk about Yahweh and what he intends to do to stop sadness and sorrow. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'll be glad when all of you can just move here and we can all... We've got a job for everyone. I know the unemployment is great in a lot of places out there, but it's certainly not here. We're begging for help. We could use, right now, we're going to try to scrounge to get some teachers out to different countries, and the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. I see the Catholic Church is endorsing that now. He's saying that education is the only thing that's going to bring peace and safety, that we've got to have education and morals, he said. get behind me a little more, Pope, and I'll and we'll change this country to bring some health back into it. The New World Order. Now, you were seeing it pressed far and more and being spoken about more. It's not actually a new world order. It's very old. Started back with the higher schools of learning called Nimrod, that was fathered by Cush, and of course it's they've changed it because it didn't work. So they changed it again, and it's dozens of times added thousands of laws, and it's still not working. But this time, they think they're going to bring it about, and they're going to make everyone in the world accept it, and then they look to have a true, lasting peace. The Scripture shows something different. And of course, today, I want you to understand. I want everybody to really understand this, so be ready to take notes and read these Scriptures in also at the same time. What we see now is a strong push that was prophesied about for these last days, which I do intend to bring that. The two witnesses is very much involved, not as a judge. We don't judge them. We just bring the Scriptures, the prophecies, to show what this is going to amount to, what it's going to bring about in the world. As our job also shows, we're out to expose sin, and that's the reason we're hated, of course, as the Savior was hated for doing the same thing. In Yochanan 15 and verse 18 through about 23, he shows the hatred for Yahweh. He shows the hatred for himself there, and then he told his 12 disciples, "You're going to be hated." In Yahshua's day, if you could imagine, Galilee was looked down on because they would not yield to the schools of higher learning. And of course, the ones that was running Israel, the 12 tribes who were actually governing Israel, they had pushed out to all nations at that time, and had a big headquarters in Rome, and an outstanding army that was second to none, that they had built themselves. trained. And of course, if you were a Pharisee, you were also a Roman citizen. That's how the Apostle Shaul that's why he was a Roman citizen, because he was a Pharisee. And you've got to understand that Shaul was first taught in these schools of higher learning. He was taught the traditions that bring forth money. And of course, the prophets condemned these traditions, like Christmas and Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, first 10 verses. Easter was condemned as early as Samuel in the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel. It was still going on, though, in Jeremiah 44 chapter, worshiping the Queen of Heaven and the hot cross buns, and then Halloween, the worship of the dead, of course, in Isaiah 65 and 66, shows your priest there, the Savior said, your fathers kill the prophets, and you build their tombs and worship the dead. And of course, that is still going on today in Rome, where they moved the great Roman army when they destroyed the temple. They moved all the artifacts to Rome. And there's where Constantine then set forth the new god that was not actually born in Rome, but he was born much earlier than that and worshipped long before that. His worship was discovered in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. But he was actually born in Egypt and of course, died there too. And then they deified him and made him a god. But the two names that Constantine, the religion that he chose, and of course, the names that was picked for the one God was two gods, and put together, that name was Jesus Christ. That's in the catechisms of the Catholic Church, and they admit that they took the Savior's name out and Yahweh's name out and replaced them with those names. Well, the two witnesses now have got to bring all this truth forward, because the perfection, the standard of perfection that Yahweh sent to begin with, it held on to that standard of perfection, but the other religion, let's turn over there to Genesis, and we will look at those things. Let's go to Deuteronomy first. But the two witnesses have to straighten this, all of this out, and bring the standard of perfection of Yahweh. Otherwise, I would say nothing about the quartet at all. I would just let them do their thing. And I wouldn't oppose Babylon. I would just bring forth the laws of Yahweh. But you can't do that, because Babylon, the same Babylon that is running the world today, also was put in the Garden of Eden, as it's called, a tree of righteousness and evil. And of course, if you partake of that tree, you're partaking of what the gods are made of. In Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter here, we see here that Yahweh says in verse 15, he said, I have set before you this day life by righteousness. Life by righteousness. And then death and destruction. If you go over to Genesis, the second chapter, he set this in front of Adam and Eve by the priest Abel. In the second chapter, in verse 9, I do believe, yes, Genesis, remember, he set this before you, righteousness, life by righteousness. Well, here in verse 9, chapter 2 of Genesis, he says, and out of the ground Yahweh made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and desirable for food, Then he says the tree of life also, the tree of life. That's what we see in Deuteronomy there, 30 and 15. I should have helped my place there where you could look back and forth. But see, I have set before you this day life by righteousness. Well, you see this here, Genesis 2 and verse 9. I've set before you here. This is Adam and Eve, of course, and Yahweh, first being a blessing to his people, sets this before them, the tree of life, and then in the midst of the garden, and the tree, notice he sets also the tree of knowledge of righteousness and evil. Righteousness and evil. We see in Genesis 1:14, if you look back there, Genesis 1 and verse 14, we see the feast of Yahweh here. This is part of that tree of life, the tree of righteousness. And of course, this is what the world is trying to keep you from doing today, from keeping, from preserving. But notice verse 14, and Yahweh said, this is Genesis 1:14. Yahweh said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the feast. The feast, if you notice over there in the reference, traditionally translated in the King James Version as seasons. But Strong's Concordance will tell you this word here means the feast of Yahweh for their days and years. So here he gives that to this. This is the Deuteronomy now. It says, I have set before you life by righteousness. And then Genesis 2, verse 9, the tree, notice the tree of life, tree of life, and then the tree of righteousness and evil. So the tree of righteousness is part of keeping the feast. This is our righteousness, of course, if we will do these things, as we see in another place. But let's go to, remember what you just saw here in these three verses. Genesis 1:14, 2:9, and then in Deuteronomy 30 and 15, and go to Matithiah now, the seventh chapter, and you'll see what the Savior points out to you here, because people are so perplexed when they come to the house, or when they hear us on television or wherever, that they stand in shock. They can't get their jaw back to get their mouth shut for quite a while after they hear this, and then they see it in their own scripture. And so they're in shock that the world is actually the tree of righteousness and evil, which they're bringing forth in abundance. And of course, they're striving to bring peace through this, what they're calling the New World Order. If they knew their scriptures, they'd know it's not new, but something very old, that democracy is very old. This is what, if you just think about it, this is what Satan showed to Adam and Eve. You know, do what is desirable. Do what's desirable. But forget about the education in morals. Well, now they're seeing they made a great mistake, you know, because the diseases are taking over, and we've got them in everything now, the animals and the air we breathe and the water we drink. We've got the bodies of people are getting to where they can't reproduce. This week, I think it was last week, we saw an article that where the horses had come down with a herpes virus of some kind, and it's rather shocking because they say this virus now it gets in the brain and it starts the blood vessels to swelling, And then it does the same thing throughout the nervous system. And then the horse starts getting weak in his back legs and stumbling and falling. And it's like you're describing a mad cow, the mad cow disease. Well, now they have it in the horses, and, you know, the horse shows that they had planned for this summer was running up in the millions of dollars. That's just the gifts, the prizes, you know, the prizes that you could win if you had the top horses, if your horse was chosen to win as a winner. You could collect up to $50 million. And now they shut it down. And they said, no, you know, we have purebred horses here, and we can't afford to lose one of them. Well, the last I heard, they'd lost 18. So they're getting pretty frantic. And they wouldn't let the people ride their horses or bring their horses to the show, so they gave them stick horses to ride to try to keep the show going and make at least a little money out of it. You know, they couldn't turn down all of it. But this is how desperate they're getting in this way of Nimrod. And of course, the choosing what is desirable at the time without thought of consequences as to what this thing is going to bring on them. Well, now we know what it's going to bring. Yahweh has proven that pretty thoroughly, don't you think? Now, the next thing we're going to see, it looks like very, very quickly now, is the great famine that is speaking of, where Yeshua spoke of this in Matthew 24, and he named famines there. And then he says in verse 21 and 22, he says it's going to be the worst ever, the worst ever. So you can see the floods. Floods don't bring, you know, food. You can't grow food in a flood. Neither can you grow it in a drought. And we were told by some of the people that we deal with in Oklahoma that the only hay that is being grown now is by irrigation, because this drought is so stricken Oklahoma till it's like it was when I was a child. It's becoming a dust bowl again. So maybe that's for a reason. I'm sure it is. But the thing about it, Yahweh's not causing this. Mankind is causing this. And right now, the firmament, what Yahweh calls the firmament, mankind calls it the atmosphere and a few other things, but the body of protection that we have between us and the sun that reaches up so high, and then after that you have to wear some kind of artificial life to get higher than that. But when you're here on earth, you have that protection. In that firmament is, of course, it governs the rainfall. And yes, these are microorganisms that Yahweh put in the firmament, and of course, we're killing them out. So they're incapable now of doing their job because we're destroying them. The earth mourns and fades away, as Isaiah 24 said. Well, the more we destroy this firmament, the more we will see this famine brought on. The famine, the great famines that Yeshua spoke of. Yahweh prepared his house for this. He prepared his house to teach. Praise Yahweh. He prepared his house to teach. Now, he didn't prepare, and what the wickedness, the reward of the wicked that we will see later in Scripture, the reward of the wicked is that they cut themselves off from the knowledge of Yahweh, and they accepted the lust which seems pleasurable in their sight. And this is all they have. Well, what are you lusting after now? You know, I remember when I was riding horseback and we were bragging how fast our horses was, and I can outrun you, and, you know, and my horse can outrun your horse. Later on, we had 100 horses under the hood of a car, and we was bragging on the cars, how fast they were. And mine can outrun yours, you know. Well, let's have a race from here to here and put some money up. Well, that seems to be, you know, the desirable. It's a fun thing. The sexual, uncontrolled sexual lust came right along with this time period of knowledge increasing, where the horses was put under the hood and of a tractor or a car. That's a bit of knowledge that was saved until a certain time period, but Yahweh gave them the knowledge. He opened it up to where they could get the knowledge and understanding, so they take, that's what they have. Well, this is the reward of the wicked that you're seeing, but this reward of the wicked is also bringing the world down. And the world is mourning and fading away because we have chosen this way of life that you see in the world today. Because they have cut Yahweh off from themselves, because the knowledge that He offers, which is the really the most joyous thing and the everlasting thing, that's the life that He offers, true life, true everlasting life of peace and abundant living, that's what He offers. But when you cut yourself off from that, then your animals start dying, you start killing the atmosphere, you start poisoning your water supplies. When they were showing the lakes on the news yesterday, they were showing how low they were. And most of their gripe was, I can't make any money because the boaters are not coming this way. The people who used to swim here, they don't like to swim in this mud. That's too well. It's a little bit hard to get off. They go home to wash, and they wash in filthy water coming out of the pipes. And now they're saying to many of them, don't drink this without boiling it first. Well, it's getting bad, and they're recognizing that it is getting bad. Well, we wonder why the world is going one way and we're going the other. And Yahshua says here in chapter 7 of Matithya, He says, beware of false prophets who come to you looking great, dressed great. When they came out to see Yahshua, they were in shock. He had on merely the holy garments, the kippah and the tallit, and nothing fancy, no gold throne to sit on. And He said, what did you think you were going to find when you were looking for the Savior, when you found the Savior? Well, they were standing in shock, of course, but they soon got over it, and He fed thousands of them. Of course, they left Him. They got their meal and left. That's about the size of it. And he told His disciples, they have no backbone, they have no foundation, no roots, no roots of righteousness in them, nothing to hold them to the plan of Yahweh. So they go back out and mix out into the world. You know, even His own brothers and sisters followed the gods of righteousness, or the tree of righteousness and evil. So to this He says, you will know them by their fruits. And then verse 17, He said, every righteous tree brings forth righteous fruits. Well, you know, righteousness is practicing the laws of Yahweh. Practicing. 1 John 3:4 says, sin is the breaking of the law. 1 John 3:7-8 says, don't let any man deceive you. Righteousness, practicing the laws of Yahweh, are the righteousness. That is righteousness. And the other, if you practice the other way that the world is taking, then you belong to Satan, the devil. He's saying right here the same thing. Every righteous tree brings forth the laws of Yahweh. The laws of Yahweh, that's what they teach. But the tree of evil brings forth iniquity, pushing the laws away from them. You taking the desirable way. And of course, that's what the world has done. A righteous tree cannot bring forth iniquity. Can you get that? Because he says there's a righteous tree standing in front of you. Did you get that? I cannot teach iniquity. I cannot bring forth iniquity. That's what he says to you. That's what he said of Abel. Abel could not bring forth iniquity. Cain could and did. But Abel could not. He was that righteous tree that Yahweh had there. You can believe the Savior, and you better believe the Savior. You better take this to heart, because the world is out to pull you away. If you remember, Satan said to Eve, well, now kind of consider this now, Eve. Let me put a bug in your ear here. Well, she actually planted the bugs throughout her body, sickness and disease. That it didn't just go in her ear, it went to other places. Well, that started the ball to rolling and multiplying, and a few years later, Yahweh had to bring a flood and start over again with a righteous family to bring forth and keep that law in existence until this last generation, when he allowed knowledge to increase, which brought forth television and another teacher into the world at that time, the teachers of Hollywood that brought forth what we're seeing today, the following of the lust in a strong type manner that leads you out into the world of money-making, big money spending. That's what the holidays was for. All of these holidays was for to make money. They were designed for that purpose. And if you know, anyone can look at Christmas and see this, and Halloween and Easter. It's all geared to bring in money. Well, here's the tree of evil now, iniquity. Nor can a tree of evil bring forth the fruits of righteousness. They cannot. There's no place you can go in the world where the life is taught, where life is taught by righteousness, except to the house of Yahweh, of course. Now let's go back to, we saw Genesis. Look at Genesis 1:14 again. Genesis 1:14. And he says the feast there, translated seasons in the King James Version, but if you can get a Strong's Concordance or get our literature, we can send you this free. I know many's watching this on television now. By the way, I wanted to bring you that because I think I had a copy of, Yahweh said we're going to reach the world. In 4/25/2011, we had reached 27 million people, and of course today that was 4/25. This is 6/8. We have now reached. We're now reaching 53 million. 848,127. So we're doing the job that Yahweh said his house was going to do in this time period. We're reaching the world. And of course, he says there's going to be a huge conversion take place there from that. But back to Genesis now, because he himself put the tree of life, and then he put the tree of knowledge of righteousness and evil, and he said all the world has followed the way of Cain. Well, here on verse 14, we see the feast here. And just a Strong's Concordance will show you that word means feast of Yahweh. That word, they translated it seasons. Now, this, of course, is a deception that went out to all the world in the King James Version. The British Bible Society, they wanted a Bible in every home, and I'm glad they did because they put one in mine. And of course, from the studies, you can actually see from the studies, if you combine scriptures, you can see how they mistranslated certain words just by studying. You've got to study, but just by studying a King James Version, you can see this, and you can see how certain translations don't fit what the prophet said. So here again, you know, there's a discrepancy. But of course, Yahweh was preparing me at that time to bring forth a team of scholars, which we have, the best in the world now, best team of scholars in the world. And of course, what the knowledge, people buy these books of Yahweh, Christian people buy them because they actually say that this book contains more truth and more information than any book that they've ever, any Bible on the market. Well, here it shows this is the feast. Verse 14, the feast and for days and years. But the feast of Yahweh, that is what that was designed to do, to show you. He put those planets there for that purpose. Now, remember that and go over then to Leviticus 23, and notice here now verse 2. Leviticus 23 and verse 2. He says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feast of Yahweh, the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation." So we see here this is an appointment with Yahweh. A convocation is just a meeting between people, but a holy convocation is meeting with Yahweh. And that's what the word means. That's what it should mean. "These are my feast," he says. Get that. Now, in Colossians, if you'll turn to Colossians 2, in verse 16, he says, "Therefore, let no man condemn you for eating and drinking in observance of a feast," which means they're going to be condemning you. They're going to condemn you and tell you you're crazy and you're following that cult and you better get out of that cult. So he's warning, this was going on at that time. And at this same time here, the Roman soldiers, of which there were many working for, standing on the part of the, what they called themselves, Pharisees at that time, which means separatists, that separated themselves, and the army was standing on their part. And of course, the reason they separate themselves is obvious. They don't want anyone to know what they're doing behind closed doors. And they're enjoying the wealth. They're enjoying their wealth to letting their lust, as Solomon did, fulfilled, go to the fullest. And this is their wickedness that they are being rewarded for. The reward that's coming to them, of course, is the sickness and disease, which they're also spreading throughout the whole earth. From them, profaneness has gone out to the whole earth, he said. But he says, here, don't let them condemn you for this, meaning they are going to condemn you for in the observance of a feast day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath day. Sabbath day. Remember, that's appointments. It means holy convocation, which means holy appointments. Now, let's go over to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. With that right there in mind. Psalms 91. Remember in Leviticus 23, he said, these are my feast. Colossians says, don't let anybody condemn you for keeping them. Colossians also says they're a shadow from things to come. Here are Psalms, in Psalms 91 in verse 1, he said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, shadow from big destruction. Well, it's big destruction that Yahweh shows through his prophets is going to take place with the quartet, through his prophets, apostles, and of course, the Savior. So a shadow from the Almighty. If you read that whole thing, you would see that thousands are going to fall at your right hand, at your side, but it won't come near you. That's what he said. Let's read a little further. We say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress. You are our Father. In you, we will trust. Surely, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That word noisome is used, of course, in Revelation 16:2, which is telling about what the quartet brings that is being led by what used to be the Pharisees, now called Catholic or Universal. The noisome deadly pestilence, that's the sickness and disease epidemics that are spreading, getting into everything. Nothing is spared now. The water, the air, our horses, our cats, our dogs, our land, it's in the land, the earth itself, and the earth must be burned in order to clean it up. He will cover you with his feathers. That word there actually means wings, meaning referring to the tallit. His tallit is 613 laws. And under his wings will you trust. His truth will be your shield and buckler. You will not be afraid. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrows, that is, the wars that fly by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. You can see he's talking about war here, bad war, and of course disease, epidemics, and so forth, that if you watch any news at all, that's what you're going to see now. And it's getting worse. It's picking up, and they know it, and they're alarmed about it. They're afraid because it's coming their way big time. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes you will look and you will see the reward of the wicked. The reward. This, of course, this reward of the wicked, it's a reward that they have chosen that is coming upon them. And of course, that right there, if you'll, we'll have to read the whole thing, but when we get down to the bottom here, we'll tie it together. Because you have made Yahweh, verse 9, your refuge, because you have made the Most High your house, that is the house of Yahweh. Now, this is the first tree that Yahweh planted, the tree of life, tree of life. That was, every scholar knows that was the house of Yahweh. And then, of course, by the side of it, he had permitted the house of the gods. The house of the gods, which you see throughout the world. They were throughout Israel in the time of Yeshua Messiah. In the time of Solomon. Solomon even allowed these things because of business practices and purposes, not realizing, I think, what they were actually bringing. But he says, the house of Yahweh, your dwelling, verse 10, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague. If you remember, that's some of the plague is the word used in Revelation 18, where he's saying, come out from among the city that sits on seven hills. Come out from among them, not just the city itself, but from among them and be separate. One of the apostle Shaul said, come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. They tried to make out like that there's nothing unclean. And the Pope says, oh, there's nothing unclean in itself, nothing really good or bad in itself. Where is the man? Where is he living? In behind four rock walls or something that he can't see out to see what is going on out here? Maybe someone should send him a letter telling him what is really going on out here in this world. Well, somebody is, I think, because they're getting alarmed about it. No evil will befall you nor come near your dwelling. No plague will come near your dwelling. For he will give his Malachim, charge concerning you to keep you, to protect you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That stone meaning to build or plummet, to keep you straight in guiding your feet. Verse 13, you will tread upon the lion and the adder. All of this is symbol, of course, and I've explained it before. The young lion and the dragon you will trample underfoot. Yahweh says, because you set your love upon me. Set your love upon me. Hold your place right there and look over to Exodus, the 20th chapter. You might mark these things in your book of Yahweh after you get home and study this again if you're writing them down. But in Exodus 20 and verse 6, Exodus 20 and verse 6, he says, teaching love to thousands. He says, but showing love, but that's not there. It's teaching. Yahweh teaches his love to thousands who love me by keeping my laws. He says, if anyone wants to a place in his house, anyone, makes no difference who he is or she is, let their males be circumcised and let them keep the appointments. Appointments, that is feast. Feast. The first feast is the Sabbath day, the weekly Sabbath. That's a feast. That's what we are supposed to make it and rejoice every seventh day. Yes. Now back to Psalms here. He will teach, but remember this. This is part of the Ten Commandments here. He'll teach you love, teaching love to thousands who love me by keeping my laws. That is, who show their love to me by being obedient to my laws, he said. Now back to Psalms here, 91 and verse 14. He says, Yahweh says, because you have set your love upon me, that is by practicing my laws, Psalms 91, verse 14, because you have set your love upon me, as we just saw, by practicing his laws. Repent and be converted. Start to convert. As the song goes, that was so beautifully done this morning by our children. Well, I tell you, that I cried all the way through it, I think. It was perfect. I want to get that out on our world television station where everyone can hear that. Now, you don't have to be absolutely perfect. You know, when you repent and you start practicing Yahweh's laws, Yahweh will deliver you if you're sincere in doing this. I will deliver you, cause you to escape. I will set you on high because you know my name. Now, if you go back, put your finger on because there. And go back up here to verse 8. Only with your eyes you will look and you will see the reward of the wicked because you know my name. That's verse 8. Look at verse 9. He said, because you have made Yahweh your refuge, because you have made the Most High your house, house of Yahweh, because you know my name. Look at verse 10. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling, because you know my name. You get that? And dwelling? Your dwelling? Near your dwelling, because you know my name. Well, of course, this is in Revelations 2, Revelations 3 and verse 7, showing his house in these last days and the protection that he has offered them. But we won't go there right now. We're in Deuteronomy. And speaking of this shadow, and of course, the reference there to that shadow, the reference in your book of Yahweh there, if you look at that, we have some scriptures there that these are not put there just, you know, so you can have something to read. It's so you can combine this and see this great plan of Yahweh and what you've got to come to and what it offers to you. Not the reward of the wicked, but life, this tree of life. If you look back to Deuteronomy 16, now keep in mind what we've just read. Deuteronomy 16, and verse 11. Deuteronomy 16, verse 11. He said, you shall rejoice. You shall rejoice. Now, he says, in front of Yahweh. In front of, now, so this is a command. This is a law. You shall rejoice in front of Yahweh, your Father. You and your wife, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite who lives within your gates, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows among you at the place. Rejoice at the place. Yahweh, your Father, chooses. Notice, you'll rejoice in front of Yahweh at the place Yahweh, your Father, chooses to establish. You get that? Establish his name. To establish. The great Kohan Shaul brought out the meaning of that. So did the great Kohan Yehuda bring out that. I noticed it years ago, and I said, the house of Yahweh has got to be established with the government of the United States, the chief of the nations. So we went to the trouble, which is big trouble, to get it done. And we did it. But rejoice, praise Yahweh. Now notice, in front of Yahweh, which means Yahweh is at his appointed feast. He's here with you right now, watching you. If someone brings up negativism, quote the scripture to them. Deuteronomy 16:11. Say, go read Deuteronomy 16:11. You're in front of Yahweh, boy, girl, lady, man. You're in front of Yahweh. Here at his feast, rejoice. Don't talk negative to me. Now, if you want to add what the Savior said, you know, you want to rejoice in front of Yahweh? Serve somebody. This is the way you become joyful when you serve. Then you won't look like the captain of the Titanic. Rejoice in front of Yahweh at the place, Because he's there at the place he chooses. He chose it. He prophesied it. He says, only the ones that have prophesied, that's my place. I prophesied, I brought it to pass. It's here in front of you, he says, and I'm in front of you, he says. So rejoice in front of me at my house, he said. The established house where he chose to establish his name. Is there anything left out of that sentence? It's pretty plain, right? Verse 13 says, you must observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. This is a must. At the place, of course, where you're rejoicing in front of Yahweh. And this is the reason the apostles were saying, don't let people condemn you for this. Well, why? Because they were already doing away with Yahweh's feast. Even at that time, they were persecuting people for observing these days the way Yahweh said to observe them. They were hunting them down, tracking them down. They got their hands full when they went to Galilee. They killed people galore, chased them clear to America, but they didn't know they fled to America, of course. But 13 now, you must observe the Feast of Tabernacles. Look at 13 through 18. Look at 14. And you shall rejoice at the feast. You and your wife, your sons, your daughters, your manservants, maidservants. That's what we read in Deuteronomy. 7 days you must keep a joyous feast to Yahweh. This is a one-day feast, but you can keep it joyous this day, 24 hours. Yahweh your Father will bless you. He will. This is the blessing that comes from Yahweh. The reward of the wicked is quite different. 3 times in the year, all your males shall appear in front of Yahweh. This is part of the commandment at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks. That's where we are right now, the Feast of Weeks. The sign says, don't be deceived, only believe all that the prophets have spoken. Don't be deceived, only believe all that the prophets have spoken. Maybe we could put that in a marching song. That's what the banner says. Memorize it while you're here. And verse 17, every man shall give as he is capable. That's what runs the work of Yahweh. You must appoint judges. Oh, you must appoint judges in this place, he said. Yes, you've got to appoint judges. Judges and officers. Officers. Appoint judges and officers. Now, if you look over to chapter 17, you'll see what for. Chapter 17 and verse 9, he says, go to the priest who are Levites, to the judges. Here's the judges. Not just judges now, but get what else is written behind that. Are you looking? Yahweh must have knew that somebody was going to leave office. So he doesn't leave out anything when it comes to his people because he doesn't want you deceived. Go to the judges who are in office at that time, who I allow to stay in office through that time period that you're talking about, where you're brought to the judges or go to the judges. That's the full sentence. Go to the judges. You must appoint judges, verse 18, 16, 18, and 17, 9, you must go to those judges who are in office at that time and ask their decision. Not tell them, look here. Let me show you something, boy. Judges who are in office at that time. Now back to Psalms. Psalms 91. Psalms 91. And he says, because you know my name and you've set your love upon me by doing these things that I have told you to do, by keeping my laws, the tree of life, the tree of life. Now if you go to Daniel 10, Daniel, the 10th chapter, He adds something else to this. Remember, the reward of the wicked. The reward of the wicked. Chapter 12, not 10, but the reward of the wicked. If you're having trouble understanding the judges, understanding the priests that Yahweh has set in office, if you're having trouble understanding, it might not be their ability to teach. It might be your ability to learn or to hear. It's in chapter 12 here of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 10. Many will be purified and made white and tried. That's the gathering of Yahweh's people, the gathering to Yahshua that we talked about in the last time I spoke, the gathering that's taking place right now by his house. I will establish my house. It will bring perfection to the world. And of course, there'll be a great gathering take place, gathering to Yahshua at that this time that we're in right now. That's what we're doing. We're doing that work that was prophesied, a great gathering. Many will be purified at that time. That's the time, the last times, or time and times, and the divided time that we're in right now, by two witnesses that Daniel saw. Just above that, I look at the time of the end, and there stood two others. Well, here we see this gathering taking place that was prophesied in Revelations 11, 2 Thessalonians, Zechariah 4, 5, and 6. Almost all of Zechariah is about the two witnesses. You know, you wouldn't recognize it when you first started studying that. But if you read that book now, you will see that almost everything in that is the work of these last days. But many will be purified at that time and made white. What time is he speaking of? If you'll look over to verse 1 there. At that time will Micaiah stand up, that great prince that stands for the children of your people, and there will be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation to that same time, and at that time your people will be delivered. We just read about the deliverance in Psalms 91. Remember? Psalms 91. He's going to deliver you because you've set your love upon him, showed your love to him by being at his appointed times. Don't let anyone deceive you, brethren. Don't let them deceive you or condemn you or pull you away from these feasts. They are your shadow from these things prophesied. Well, many will be purified in our time period, in this time period, and made white and tested and tested. Yes, you're being tested. How many times have I had to bring that out to tell you you're under a test? Your biggest test right now is to prove you can be joyous. And where do you receive your reward? From here, right here. Right here at Yahweh's house. Yahweh is standing here in front of you, watching you at this time. His eyes and his heart are here. This is his appointment on the Feast of Weeks. But the wicked will not understand. The wicked will do wickedly. What is wicked? It's iniquity. Pushing aside the law. What law? One of them, it says you got to rejoice. If you talk about negative things, you're condemned in Isaiah 58. If you talk about things of yourself, get your mind on Yahweh here and the plan that he has and the reward that he has for you. Abundant living. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yes, that's our Savior. None of the wicked are going to understand, but the wise will understand. Now, Yahweh bless you. I went over, I know, and I know you're all hungry. This words of Yahweh are great, but they're not very filling. anyway, we may have time for this afternoon. I don't know. But we'll see, and we'll let you know in plenty of time. So don't go anywhere now. Stay here and eat. We have a beautiful meal lined up for you. There ain't no place on earth you'd find a meal like this. I love you.